Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean and the Entire Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and the Prayer Room Ministry. And we're so excited today to be back on our radio broadcast this evening. We're going to get ready to go into our devotion, just a quick devotion. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer. I just give reverence to God this evening, who is my life, and to everyone in their respective places, to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I just thank and praise God on this evening to be present for the study of his most holy word. We're going to have our scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palace for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of tarnish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. We have thought of thy loving kindness, our God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go around about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generations following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Amen, amen. We're going to have our song.
Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hold for nothing. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Everything else can go. Lord, give me you. I hope I'm not
Lord, give me your
Father, we come humbly before your throne of grace tonight, God, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we just come tonight, God, just to repent and confess and repent and to ask you to clean us, wash us, and forgive us, God, in the blood of Jesus. I ask you on tonight, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, to bind the strong man from our lives on tonight. Bind up the strong man tonight, Father, from this radio broadcast. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'm asking you right now, God, every demon on assignment, your assignment is canceled right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I ask you right now to open up our minds and open up our heart that we'll receive your word, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask you right now, Father, to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight, God. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we give you all the praise tonight. We give you all the glory on tonight. We magnify your name tonight, God. We give you glory tonight, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless your name. We give you glory. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. And thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Amen, everybody. Good evening, everybody. Everyone know where we are. We're in Genesis chapter 35 and chapter 36 on tonight. I'll be reading the scriptures, and then we'll go back over it. Chapter 35 says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and all and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garment, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress. And was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed. What is that? Okay. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the city that were round and about them, and they did not pursue after the son of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because their God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Elbakatha. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padanaram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name should not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereof, and he poured oil thereof. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was put a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave, unto this day. And Israel joined and spread his tent beyond the towers of Eder. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob, firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun, the sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. And the sons of Bilhah was Rachel's handmaid, Dan, and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, was Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Padanaram. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 84 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Chapter 36. Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Esau took his wives of daughters, the daughters of Canaan. Adah, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, in Aholibama, the daughter of Adna, the daughter of Zebion, the Hittite. These names not going to get it. And Bashmath, Ishmael's daughter, the sister of Nebajoth, in Ada, bare to Ishmael of and Ada bare to Esau Ephraim, and Bashmath bare Rula, and Ahulamah bare Jeshu, and Jaalim and Korin. These are the sons of Esau, which were born unto him in the land of Canaan. And Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the persons of his house and his cattle and all his beasts and all of his substance, which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. For their riches were more than that they might dwell together in the land. And the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of Edomites, in Mount Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons. It's Ephraz, the son of Adah, the wife of Esau. Reuel, the son of Bashmath, the wife of Esau, and the son of Eliphaz were Tinam, Omar, Zipho, and Gatam, and Kenaz. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare Eliphaz, Amalek. These were the sons of Adah, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Rula, Nahath and Zerah, Shema and Mizaz. These were the sons of Bashmath, Esau's wife. And these were the sons of Aholibama, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibion, Esau's wife. And she bare to Esau Jeush and Jalema and Korah. These were the dukes of the sons of Esau, the sons of Ephraz, the firstborn son of Esau, Duke Timon, Duke Omar, Duke Zepho, Duke Kenaz, Duke Korah, Duke Gatim, and Duke Amalek. These are the dukes that came of Ephraz in the land of Eden. These were the sons of Adah. And these are the sons of Rula, Esau's son, Duke Nahath, Duke Zerah, Duke Shema, Duke Maziah. These are the dukes that came of Rula in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Bashmath, Esau's wife, and these are the sons of Aholibama, Esau's wife, Duke Jeshu, Jalam, Duke Korah. These were the dukes that came of Aholibama. the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Esau, who is Edom. And these are the dupes. These are the sons of Siri, the Horites, who inhabited the land, Lotan and Shobal, Zibeon, Anai, and Dishan, and Ezar, and Dishan. These are the dukes of the Hittites, the children of Siri, in the land of Edom. And the children of Lotan were Hori and Hemine. And Lotan's sister was Timnah. And the children of Shobal were these, Alvine and Mahanapath and Ebal, She, Pho, and Onan. And these are the children of Zibeon, both Aja and Anah. These were that Anah that found the mule in the wilderness as he fed asses of Zibeon, his father. And the children of Anah were these, Dishan and Ahalabamath, the daughter of Anah. And these are the children of Dishan, Hamdan, Ban, and Ithran, and Charan. The children of Ezar are these, Behin, and Zavine, and Achan. The children of Dishan are those, Uz and Aran. These are the dukes that came of the Horites, Duke Lotan, Duke Shobal, Duke Zibeon, Duke Anah, Duke Dishan, Duke Ezar, Duke Dishan. These are the dukes that came of Hori among their dukes in the land of Siri. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom before their reign, any king over the children of Israel. And Belai, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom. And the name of the city was Dinhabath. And Bela died. And Jobah, the son of Zerah of Bozrah, reigned in his stead. And Jobai died, and Husham of the land of Timani reigned in his stead. And Hisham died, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, who smote Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his stead, and the name of his city was Avah. And Hadad died in Samla of Masrekah, reigned in his stead, and Shamlah died, and Saul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his stead, and Saul died, and Baalhanan, the son of Achbar, reigned in his stead, and Baalhanan, the son of Achbar, died, and Hadar reigned in his stead, and the name of his city was Peu. And wife's name was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matri, the daughter of Mazahab. And these are the names of the dukes that came of Esau according to the family after their places by their names, Duke Timni, Duke Avi, Duke Jeduth, Duke Ahalaban, Duke Eli, Duke Panan, Duke Kenaz, Duke Timan, Duke Mabzor, Duke Magdial, Duke Iran. These be the dukes of Edom, according to their habitation in the land of their possession. He is Esau, the father of the Edomites. Ooh, Jesus. Yes, he was. Amen. We're going to get ready for our questions. That was something to read. Amen. Amen. First question. Where did God tell Jacob to go? And this is in chapter 35. We're in chapter 35. Where did God tell Jacob to go? You want me to answer it?
Oh, no.
Hey, Apostle, I know I'm making on. I thought we was on 34 and 35 this week. I'm sorry.
We were. That's what I thought, too. That's what I did.
Yeah. I studied 34.
Well,
I know
let me, okay, well, we're going to do 34. That ain't no problem. Y'all read it. Amen. It's good. Okay, let's start with 34.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
What did Shechem do to Diana, Jacob's daughter? You all are right. What did Shechem do to Diana, Jacob's daughter?
He took her and laid with her. He raped her. He violated her.
Okay.
You know,
amen.
For the lack of attention and protection, you know, Jacob was, I guess he was partially at fault in this tragedy because he wasn't, you get what I'm saying? His own was compromised, and it made him less able to stand up to his own children. You get what I'm saying? And judge them as he should. You get what I'm saying? But, you know, with that, I guess, trying to tell a teenager, like, what is it? What's her name? Dinah. You know, teenagers, you know, they want it all, and they want it now. So it's almost impossible, for real, for them to see the benefit of waiting for certain things. And, I mean, until they are mature enough, you get what I'm saying? Because nowadays these teenagers are different. Again, they want it now, and the possibility of them having it right now is endless. Like, you can't tell a teenager they can't have nothing now. So, you know, one of the ways I think I see this, the difficulties has been measured as been called, you know, I don't know if you heard of the marshmallow law before, Mama, or the marshmallow test. It's not a law, but it's a test. And I think I told it to somebody before, but at any rate, it's basically a research, and it gives a choice to a four-year-old. And basically, for a few minutes, you know, like if you were going on an errand or somewhere to go, you get what I'm saying? You can have this marshmallow while waiting. So basically what I'm trying to say is, because it's a long story, it's like the marshmallow test. I don't know if anybody else ever heard about it, but it's just basically a test to show the different types of ways a person, when they get older, the maturity that they have as by the choices that they make. You get what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, basically, if I give you one marshmallow one day, like if I give you one marshmallow to wait, but if you wait, I'll give you two when I get back. Well, you know, the incident basically, you know, teenagers today, they can't wait. So basically they sum it up by, you know, they sum it up by reflecting back on them getting the marshmallow. If they would wait, they would be more successful in life. But if they don't wait, then they may choose wrong in life. And I think that's what this incident was, you know, that I took so long trying to break it down. But that's what this incident was with Dinah. You get what I'm saying? And And I think that, you know, she wanted it. And I mean, what happened to her is not her fault. So let me just make that clear. It's just that, you know, these teenagers, they just, it was just one of them things.
Don't wait. Okay. So what did he, she can want his father to do for him? What did Sheikha, what did she him want his father to do for him?
He asked him, could he marry her? Yeah. He wanted to marry her. I just wanted to say a little something about that rape. I just wanted to say a little something about that rape or delay with her. He actually defiled her. And the reason why he defiled her, because they were uncircumcised.
Okay.
And that was unacceptable. For her to be in their culture. So that was like huge. He had did that, and he was uncircumcised. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
So basically, the uncircumcision made it rape or made it foul with the rape?
It was, made it foul. It made it foul. It made it unacceptable to her culture. That's why her brothers were so angry. Because they were uncircumcised. That was one of the reasons why. But, the, you know, that was their sister,
still,
and she was underage. Right, but it was, they were uncircumcised. Yeah, they were uncircumcised, and it was unacceptable in their culture. And that was just, so I just wanted to throw that out there. But, yeah, he wanted to marry her after he had then defiled her. And, you know, made her, you know, unacceptable in their culture, like, because who want to marry her now?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Right.
So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay. So he wanted his father to speak up and try to get them to allowed his daughter, want him to ask Jacob about marrying his daughter because he had already taken his daughter. And that's something. He had already made Dinah lay with him, but then he went to the daddy, his father, to ask him to talk to Jacob and make this happen. So when Jacob's son heard about what happened to their sister, how did they feel? Anybody?
Grieved and very angry. They was angry. And not only that, but, you know, the ancient Middle Eastern, their culture is they had a strong sense of family honor. So, you know what I'm saying? So the strong part is violence with them. You get what I'm saying? To defend the sense of their honor for their family. So they was mad, but I mean, I don't think it's the ancient culture these days. I just think it's just, you know, anybody that's, you know, if you knowing that your sister was raped and the fact that this man want to marry her back then, now you know if that back then sound crazy. You know, that's just like going you rob a bank and then you go in there knowing that my best friend is the manager, so I'm expecting a loan. You get what I'm saying? I'm going to go for a loan after I rob the bank. Then I'm going to go there the next day and apply for a loan, and I know I'm going to get it. You get what I'm saying? That's just like double backing. Like you just, so you know if this stuff was happening long ago, now it's just it's even stronger in cultures now, today, in today, because ain't no way in God's green earth. If I know you, the race, just about anybody in my family, and you walking around here, but then you going to come to your family and say to her father, with your parents, and say, I want to marry her, get me up, by any means necessary, after you defied her, and then you was unclean by circumcision, that's just,
Well, see, back in those days, they was arranged marriages. I think they would arrange marriages for their, and maybe not back then, but I know back ago, they used to arrange marriages, and they'll save their daughter for their son and stuff like this. But this was really different because he had already, because he was a duke or something, he was somebody, that he could have her. He just thought he could have her because I think he was a duke or something. I didn't read this for myself, but because he was somebody, he thought he could just take her. And he was wrong. But if Jacob had not went and made the mistake in stopping in Shechem, this wouldn't have happened. He shouldn't have never stopped there, but he did. So that's why it was partially his fault, because he shouldn't have been there. He was supposed to be going where God told him to go, but he wanted to stop here. So his daughter got violated. She got raped in this place. Mm-hmm. That's what happened to her. She, and like I said, it's partially his fault because he should have kept going where he was going, or he should have asked God before he stopped, because that's what we have to do. We have to ask God before we do things. And she didn't, and he didn't ask him, because if he had her, he would have let him know, don't go there, don't stop there. And this is what happened because of it. Okay.
Hey, Apostle, I just wanted to say a little something.
Okay.
I just wanted to, the Greek word here for grieve is, the Hebrew word is atzav, means to carve. Mm-hmm. And they were, it says to cut to heart, or to have worry or pain or anger, and they were cut to the heart about this thing, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're cut to the heart and angry about something, you know, we don't want to get there, but they were just hurt. And you know, we know what happened later on. We're going to talk about that later, but you know, it's just nothing you could do about that. You know, they was up to something, you know, something was going to happen, but they were grieved. And they were very wroth. They was gonna do something to these people. They were not gonna get away with it. So I just wanted to, you know, say, you know, we have to watch our heart. But they were cut to the heart with this rape of their only sister.
Mm-hmm.
Their only sister. And she was underage.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that pain? That her only brothers had to endure. They were cut to the heart.
Yes.
And so, that's horrible.
Yeah, that's,
you know, rape is horrible all in itself. And so many women have endured this and went through this. And a lot of times a lot of women don't even speak up because people don't believe them, or they are so embarrassed about, you know, what happened to them. And so, you know, it's just horrible, you know, and it just brings on this anger and this hurt and this pain that these brothers and this family experience. And somebody got to pay.
Yeah.
Somebody got to pay.
Yeah.
Amen.
Everybody, the lines are open. All the lines are open. So if anyone want to talk or say something, you can. go ahead.
Okay. And then I just want to throw in, too, that in this chapter contains one of the most shameful incidents in Israel's history. So
mm-hmm.
this terrible crime was committed against this young woman, Leah's daughter. But the response, though, the response to what happened to her was worse than the crime, which, you know, like she was saying, my sister was saying, down the line, we'll see how they responded to what happened to her, their sister. You get
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Because, you know, sometimes we find ourselves like, you know, oh, that's something, I'm going to jail for that. You get what I'm saying? It's just like, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, Lord, I know some things, but God ain't going to. You know, temptation, he going to send you what's due to you. You get what I'm saying? He going to tempt you with that
right.
because he needs you out here being, doing what he got for you to do. You get what I'm saying? Because I don't know how
mm-hmm.
I would have played. You know, like just some of these incidents in the Bible, you just don't know. Well, a lot of them not for you. You get what I'm saying? Because I don't know. I'll be up under the jail. I promise. Because, see, yeah, I'm
right.
just being truthful, being honest, and pray for me. If, you know, if I'm talking out of turn,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just saying, you know, some things it's just like Lala was saying, you know, it's just, you know, they had something up their sleeve. You know that something was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Something had to happen. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
My book, somebody had to do something to daddy, knock their daddy out. I mean, to make me feel good, something, lead
right.
a town, burn the town down, something. You get what I'm saying? So, and if he didn't do it, and I think that God should have, you know, they should have left it alone because I think God already knew, you get what I'm saying, what these people was about.
Absolutely.
So they already
Absolutely.
Knew what they was about. And so they should have known
mm-hmm.
what they was getting themselves into. So that's basically what I was talking about,
mm-hmm.
about the young lady being so far. That's why you just can't trust certain things around your family because you want your family to
mm-hmm.
be free. You know, able to walk down the street to the candy store. You get what I'm saying? Able to do what she
right.
want to do. But at this time, for God,
right.
you know, he didn't consult with God about that. Like you said, Mama, you know, yeah. yeah.
That's right.
Move on.
That's right. Well, yeah, it you're right. He should have talked to the Lord about it before he stopped. But what did Hamar propose they should do? What did Hamar propose they should do? Hamar. Well,
he proposed
course.
That, yeah, give
Go
her
ahead.
To him as a wife and make marriages with them. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Give her them, if I can remember, give her them. Dayah to his son, and then he will give them their
mm-hmm.
his daughters, and then they family
mm-hmm.
will blend. If I could remember, this
mm-hmm.
was just more than a matter between a young, you know what I'm saying, Canaanite man and Dayah. I mean, the daughter of Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
If they marry, you get what I'm saying. You know, it would set some type of pattern or something for the future marriages. Seem like to me, because
right.
Jacob's family and the people, you know what I'm saying, of Canaan, the results will be,
right.
you know, there for them to, yeah, to complete.
So,
it's just crazy. I mean,
what?
Yeah.
So what did Jacob's son, what did his son, what did Jacob's son, what done, wanted to do? Done first.
Oh my God, what I got? Kill the man of the city of Shechem. Circumcised.
Yeah, he wanted all
right.
of the male, yeah, to be circumcised.
Mm-hmm. First. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He
wanted
all of them to get circumcised. So. What advantage did Hamor inform his people they would receive if they followed the conditions of Jacob's son?
Take their daughters to us as wives and take their livestock, property, every animal of theirs.
Yeah, he told them that all of Jacob's livestock would become their livestock because the families would be united. So, but what did Diana's brothers do to the men of the city of Shechem? What did they do to
them? I made a mistake and said the answer earlier. They killed all the men.
They killed all the males.
All the males.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. While they were in pain
and
after they, you know, convinced them to get circumcised, then they were in pain, so they brutally killed them with some swords and all kinds of, you know what I'm saying? They killed them. They went around and killed them. That was...
And they took all their stuff. They took all their stuff, too. What was Jacob's reaction? What'd you say?
I just wanted to add to that. The attack was made the third day when fever and inflammation generally kicked in after circumcision. And so they were less able to defend themselves. So they caught them and surprised them when they were very ill and weak and went on in there and hurt them.
And the only way they would have known is, you know, is if you've been circumcised or know somebody that's been circumcised before. Like, this act was very clever. You get what I'm saying? Like, it was planned to come in, like she said, the third day. You know, like, hey, you're going to take them, and then after that, you know, see, the fever going to set in. I know they ain't going to be able to do nothing. When they get up, they're going to be hurt. They're going to be, you know, so it's just... It's sad on their part, but I can see how they're feeling on their part. But, you know,
Jacob and them, God, you know, they always were supposed to circumcise their children, their male children, on the eighth day. So they knew all of them to have circumcised their children, their males, on the eighth day. But these right here, they were another race, you know, so whatever, I don't know. And so they wasn't circumcised because they had other gods. They didn't have God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and Jacob. So they were serving some idol god. So that's why they stuff wasn't circumcised and stuff.
So they were still a part of the Canaanites, right?
The Shechemites. You know,
Shechem, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Shechem, they might have been Canaanites, but you know, the Canaanites were heathens, but they were heathens. The Canaanites, I told y'all they was heathens. That's why they weren't supposed to marry. Jacob and them weren't supposed to marry out of Canaan. So they were heathens anyway. God didn't want them marrying out of there. And Esau went on and did it anyway. But did we do what was Jacob's reaction to his son's action? What was Jacob's reaction? What did he say? What did he think about what they did?
You troubled me by making me obnoxious. Amongst the land.
He was not pleased with what his sons did.
No.
And he feared.
Yeah, he was afraid.
Say it again.
He was afraid. He feared.
Well, he feared because he was in another place. He wasn't even supposed to have been there. But he wasn't pleased with what them sons did. And then they was away from around. They was in another land. So he thought they was going to be attacked by the other, by the people of that land for doing that, because they got them to circumcise, then they killed them all, and then they took their spoils, they took their cattle and stuff, and all the women probably, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, they got their sister back.
Yeah, but then she wasn't fully together. You know, it was in her mind, but we'll get to that. Where did
that
God tell Jacob to go? What was your question?
I wanted to know, if, when they raped her, did they take her then? You know, because they was trying to talk about her being, I guess, married, you know, Shechem them and all of that. They had the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So did they end up taking her because they got, I guess they did, because the people got circumcised. Okay, I just answered my own question. Okay.
Well, but I'm saying they took her, but, you know, them brothers got her back. After they killed them all, they got her, they took her back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we at chapter 35 now. Where did God tell Jacob to go? Y'all know I've been asking that question ever since I've been on here.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I started at the wrong chapter.
He told him to go to Bethel. I was confused, but I didn't. That's what I thought.
No, he told him to go to his land. He told him to go home to the land of Canaan.
Yeah.
He told him to go home to the land of Canaan. And to what did God change Jacob's name to? Everybody know that.
Mm-hmm. Israel.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what it does say, Jacob returned to Bethel.
That's what I thought, but I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, in the first verse, it says, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. I had Bethel.
But I thought,
and make thee an altar.
But before that, Bethel was Bethel, I think it was Canaan. I'm not for sure. I got to look that up. See, it's the land of Canaan. Mm-hmm. I'll look it up.
Okay.
But it is Bethel. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, well, and then I came about. Oh, okay.
Go ahead. You don't stop.
Okay, because I did run across. The whole, like a Shechem incident happened because Jacob went to Shechem instead of Bethel, where he was supposed to be. Now, that was in Genesis 31 and 13, so that was like, that's how I came up with that, because I thought it was Canaan too. Until I seen the first verse, and then I just wanted to look at it again, because God told him to go to Bethel in Genesis 31 and 13, but we ain't got to that, though, yet. So that's why I said it. So I don't know. That's why I didn't.
You said 31 and 13.
Uh-huh.
I got to look that up tomorrow, though, but and we'll do more on Thursday, but I thought, we'll see. I thought Bethel was Canaan, but I'll find out. Okay. I think I threw off now. To what did God change? Okay, we had that right. Change Jacob's name to?
Israel.
Mhm. And what does his name mean?
Well, that's another one I was confused on too.
His name means
what?
One who struggled. Anybody?
Okay,
anybody else know?
Wrestles with God.
And the one who struggled, prevails, and strives with God. Y'all get that? The one who struggles, prevails, or strives with God. That's what Israel means. Mm-hmm. How did Rachel die?
Hard labor. She was having a baby.
Yeah. Giving birth, that's right.
We don't specifically say, but that's what I assume.
Yeah, that's how she died, giving birth. What city was Rachel and Jacob going to? What city were Rachel and Jacob going to? Anybody know?
I don't.
Okay. Yeah. They were going to
Ephrat,
which is Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. Which is Bethlehem. Okay, what was the name of Rachel's last son?
Benjamin.
Benjamin?
Mm-hmm. It was Benjamin. Okay. What does his name mean?
Son of my right hand.
Mhm. And it means like strength and honor. Mhm. And how many sons did Rachel have?
Just two.
Mhm. Okay. Who did Reuben lie with? Immorally.
Belha.
Mm-hmm.
His father's concubine.
Mm-hmm. And Rachel's maid servant. Yep. That was sad and something. How old was Isaac upon his death? How old was he upon when he died?
180 years old.
Yep, 180 years old. And who buried Isaac?
His son.
Mm-hmm.
Together.
Esau. Uh-huh, Esau and Jacob buried their father. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this was a whole lot right here, and I didn't really get to talk as much as I want to, especially about 34 and 35. 34 I didn't even go through because I thought we was on 35 and 36. But it's a whole lot in 35 that I needed to get to. And we'll just kind of go over that a little bit because it was a lot. And it's important that everybody understand. I want everybody that's on it because there's a lot of people on here that just wasn't saying anything, you know. But I want them to understand. I hope they understand what we were talking about in this thing so we don't go past the chapter and they don't understand. And when we get to the down the line, they'll be trying to figure out, well, where did this come from? Because, you know, it comes back up after a while, you know. So on Thursday, we'll go back over a little of 35. And, we'll talk about that a little bit because, like I said, we it was some good points made and stuff like that, but it was a lot that I read today and studied on today that I didn't get a chance to say. And we want to learn everything we can about this because, you know, it's important. These chapters are important to know. So, anyway, I just thank and praise God on tonight for another opportunity for our Bible class, and I give God praise for allowing us to be where we are. We got, what, 15 chapters to go before we get to the next book? Yeah, we got about 15 chapters to go. I think it stops at 50. Let me see. Yep, it stops at 50. Then, you know, we'll be in Exodus, but this has been really good, and we've learned a lot just studying the book of Genesis. We learn a lot, and it makes a difference. So, Anyway, we're going to get ready to close out on tonight. Father, we just thank you right now for each one of us, God. I ask you to cover every one of them in the shed blood of Jesus and encamp angels all around about them to protect them, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for opening up our understanding, God. I just thank you right now for all the things that happened back then that led up to Christ. I just thank you on tonight, God. I give you glory and I give you praise. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you all. You all have a good night, the rest of the evening, and we'll see you right back here, same time, same place. On Thursday night, by the grace of God. You all have a good night. I love you, and God love you, too.
You too.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.